What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, more pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is August 7th, and yes, we're going to talk about baseball. I've got some surprises for you. I'm talking to Matt Vasgersian today on The Craft, so go check out that interview. I cannot wait to talk to him. Also, yes, we have our baseball dashboard coming out. It is an addition to the PL Pro dashboard. It is a new tool. It is my personal pitcher dashboard. It is incredible. I have made so many changes, so many little tweaks to it. You guys are going to love this, from play-by-play to analyzing every single pitch type to their entire season. It's literally what I use to do this podcast and make the SP roundup every single day. So go check it out. You get 15% off a promo code dashboard. Use it today. If you do that for yearly PL Pro, you get it through the end of next year. We're adding so many things like importing your teams and live draft assistant in the offseason, all of our projections, 20 million things. Go sign up, support us through the lockout right now. 15% off with promo code dashboard when you get PL Pro yearly. Framber Valdez yesterday, 7 innings of 0 earned runs, 5 hits, 2 walks in 5 Ks. He wasn't the lead, and I'll get to him later. That is Ranger Suarez, but we'll talk about that. And for Framber Valdez, oh my gosh, this is an amazing start. Yeah, the curveball was fine, 61% strikes, but it wasn't the game that you thought it was. This was a situation where Framber Valdez got 4 double plays to end it. It was insane. He got so lucky inside of Seattle against the Mariners, and he had 4 total whiffs. It is not the game that you wanted it to be. Dylan Cease went 7 innings of 0 runs, 2 hits, 1 walk, and 10 strikeouts. It's beautiful. He was down a tick. So a little bit worrisome there that he was down over a tick velocity, and he did throw a lot of strikes, though. It was 65% with the four-seamer and 72% with the slider. That's really all you need to know with it. I'm just very happy he did that. He also did not throw in the middle of the plate at all to right-handers. Great things there. The changeup, not as good, by the way, sub 40% strikes. But the velocity is a little worrisome. He did ramp up. He is maybe adapting to that. He is doing something where it's slower early on and then having the gas later on in the game where, by the way, he had like 94.7 in the first inning and then 95, then 96, and then he pushed it all the way to 97 by the sixth and the seventh inning. So that's fine with me. Don't worry about the velocity dropping. Martin Perez and, of course, Jansen Junk both went only 3 innings. Why? Because there was a rain delay. You know, at first, there wasn't even anyone reporting about it with Martin Perez. He only went 35 pitches. There was obviously some injury scare with him before. He came off a really hot start here, and it was 3 shutout innings of no-hit ball with 1 walk and 3 Ks, and it's a little disappointing that that happened. He gets the Mets next. If you want to go with that, by all means, go and do it. It's fine. 5.2 innings of 1 earned run, 3 hits, 3 walks, 1 K. Who is that who did not butter a bread? That is Michael Wacha for just 4 whiffs. Oh my gosh, I don't know how he got through this, save for Koufax being a super, super kind fellow. It is nice to see. It is against the Twins. And he gets the Dodgers next. When you see Michael Wacha and the fact that he's not really had his peak at the moment, it's a little bit worrisome, but you still might be able to get away with a start against the Dodgers up next. David Peterson also got away with one. It was 5 innings of 1 earned run, but 10 base runners, 7 hits, 3 walks, and 3 strikeouts with the Cubs. What I've seen the last 2 starts was that the sinker was down and away consistently to right-handers with 4 seamers up and in. That was not the case. The strike rate on the sinker was 54%. The strike rate on the 4 seamer was 46%. He was struggling massively with it. A lot of the hits were the ones that came over the plate with that slider and that sinker. This is kind of the guy I was scared about, and you didn't even get a win in this one. So, sure, it's a dusty donut. 1 earned run in 5 innings. That's great. But a 2 whip, only 3 strikeouts, and no quality start, no win. Yeah, that was fortunate. Thank you so much, Koufax, for that one. Ryan Johnson, is this a showcase of how bad the Orioles are hitting right now? Maybe. But it was 4.2 innings of 1 earned run, 3 hits, 5 walks, 1 strikeout. How am I supposed to butter my rubber with this? Nobody got whiffs yesterday, clearly. Framber, very few whiffs. Wacha, few whiffs. Peterson, few whiffs. This was 4 for Ryan Johnson. You do not want to go after Ryan Johnson. He is almost like a right-handed Ryan Yarbrough at best. This was a 43% strike rate on his sinker. 47% overall. 5 walks and 4.2 innings. Just 1 earned run. Unbelievable. Walker Buehler, guess how many whiffs he had? 5. 4 innings of 1 earned run, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 3 Ks. He's doing something interesting where he's moving away from the major breaking balls. The sweeper and the curveball. The sweeper's pretty much gone. It's really a slider now. Curveball was thrown once, and he's leaning into the cutter with 4-seamer sinkers and changeups with sliders as well. They're about 17% of the time. Nothing that's interesting to me. It was a 54% strike rate on that cutter at 91-92, and it is not a good one. It has a sweep to it at 4 to 5 inches of negative horizontal movement, but about 9 vert to it. I don't love it. I just don't like his command. It's very just ugh to me. Dustin May went to the Brewers, and we were wondering, Is he going to change? Is he going to be any different? Six innings, two earned runs, three hits, three walks, and five strikeouts. That's great. 11 whiffs. Hey, look at that. We got some whiffs on somebody. He could have had more strikeouts here because he had a 61% two strike rate, but just a very low per batter 36% put away rate. That is something that we want to monitor a bit because individually, we only had an 18% put away rate on all of his pitches. The sweeper did do its job. It was one out of four there. And the cutter did as well at 40%, but the four seamer is utilized and it did not come through. The sinker and the changeup tried as well. Those need to be better. And honestly, I would just say don't try those in those situations. Try more sweepers, try more cutters. Those are clearly the effective ones. I'm actually really surprised to tell you he got two strikeouts on sweepers. And what's so weird to me is that he didn't throw it once in a two strike count to right-handers. I don't understand that one, but whatever. Anyway, Dustin May did throw more cutters. We kind of thought he would when he became a Brewer, and you normally don't see any sort of pitch changes in the first start because it's really just get your footing, let's just do your thing, and then we'll talk in the routine of the next bullpen. It's possible he did get some time before this one. I mean, this was 3-4 days after the trade happened, so it's possible he did have a bullpen, some conversation, was able to work in more cutters, and they were very effective, an 80% strike rate on a 15% swing strike rate. If he had a better four-seamer, which was sub 50% strikes in this one, this could have been an even better outing. You should really like Dustin May. And by the way, this was against the Pirates, who are good against right-handers. Now he gets the Padres and the Mariners and the Mets. I dig it a lot. Christopher Sanchez, is he an ace? Well, he's trying to get back to it. And this is not going to help his case. Yes, it was five innings with six Ks. That's cool. 200 runs and not terrible, but not a quality start. He did get a win, sure. Eight base runners, six hits, two walks, and I got to mention to you, the whip that he has had over his last six games have been destructive. I mean, sure, I am including the 12-hit game and the 10-hit game, and that's a 160 whip including those two. But even if I remove those two, it's a 139 whip in his last four games with an 8.5 hit per nine and the walk rates consistently staying up here. This is 3-5-2 in the last few games after doing 1-1-0 in the previous three. In fact, he had not had a single game of more than two walks since April 30th. And yet he had twice in his last three games. Christopher Sanchez just is not the same kind of pitcher that he was before. 41% strikes on that changeup cannot be the guy that we want to see moving forward. Now, I do expect it to get better, right? But he is not an ace at the moment, and we just got to hope that he does turn it on in the second half here. Jansen Junk, like I mentioned before, with Martin Perez, did have his start shortened because of the rain delay. So it was three innings of 200 runs, five hits, one walk, and just one strikeout. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? But it was just one whiff on 47 pitches. So it's not like Jansen Junk would have been a different guy if he went longer on. He was really not feeling it whatsoever. The velocity was down a tick on his four-seamer. It was donut command of down the middle or outside the zone. Not the guy that you want him to be. Andrew Abbott, by the way, it's Andrew Abbott things. It was two outs more than a very poor quality start because it was 6.2 innings, not 6.0, of 300 runs and nine base runners exactly. 4 Ks, 10 whiffs, low two strike rate, low put away rate for him. Actually, in the entire season, it's only a 34% put away rate, which is really a showcase of why he's an 18% strikeout rate guy, not like the 21% of previous years, right? The overall put away rate that you should be expecting for everyone is about 45%. The better guys are closer to 50 or 55, but 34, you know, that means when you get the two strike counts, you're just not getting those strikeouts that you should be getting, right? And what I see here from Andrew Abbott is that he's allowing a lot of hits, really just middle height to right-handers. If he's able to go a little bit further out, you know, there's only really one or two pitches that actually got the outer edge. Four seamers, changeups, and curveballs all allowed hits here. I just think it's Andrew Abbott. You know, he had a good situation where he's hosting the Athletics, not really his strongest team. And look, he did have a really tough fourth inning and then was clean otherwise. It was all three earned runs in that fourth and almost finished seven here. If it weren't for a single with two outs on a ground ball that just happened to make it to right field. A bad fastball up and away, or middle away. So Andrew Abbott is still kind of the same guy that you've known him to be. He has a 3.92 ERA and a 1.39 whip. That sounds about right. Bailey Ober, is he still good? He had a productive start yesterday in some ways, and not in others. And we'll talk about him and many more guys like Brandon Young. What are we doing with Bryce Miller? Oh my gosh, a lot of bad ones like Foster Griffin, and you also have Noah McClain. We got to talk about all of this. Braxton Ashcraft after this break. Bailey over 6 innings of 300 runs, 6 hits, 0 walks, and 0 strikeouts. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? That's right. No walks and no strikeouts. He is the anti-three true outcome guy. 0 home runs for 6 innings. And I don't care. I mean, how do you do this? It is sub 87 miles per hour again, 86.8. I'm absolutely flabbergasted that this happened here. I actually apologize with that. It is 87.4 total on the velocity. I should give him more credit. It's 87.88. Bailey Ober, not under 87. The velocity I was quoting were the hits he allowed. And I just don't get it. It is a massive risk. You can blame it on the Royals if you want here. 0 strikeouts, 0 walks, 0 runs. Kofax, you are so kind to get 18 outs here. All in play. Oh my gosh. All right. The Orioles and Atlanta's next. Can't do it. Brandon Young, speaking of the Orioles, 4.1 innings of 300 runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, and 4 Ks. 14 whiffs, though. And what's a little interesting here is that he's still getting a lot of whiffs on that four seamer. 28% swing strike rate, 65% strike rate, 38% CSW. Bad put away rate, only 31% overall here. You know, he is about 40% plus. And this was a lot of right-handers. Now, Brandon Young has performed well, mostly against left-handers. This was a case where against the Angels, they sent up a lot of right-handers, and the slider was not as effective as the splitter can be to left-handers. Now, the splitter, by the way, was 3-for-10 strikes, so it wasn't even productive anyway today. And to Brandon Young's credit, he did locate that slider down and away often, but it still only returned 2 over 20 whiffs. That's not what we want to see. I can still see how he's going to get the runway here in the rotation for the Orioles. I think he's got the inside lane to both Chris Bassett and Cade Povich at the moment. And I mean, look, it's a 3-4-3 ERA. They're not going to turn that away. He goes at Minnesota. That's still worth a questionable start stream. And then he gets a raise twice. And I think that's okay too, especially in the domed Tropicana that adds vert. So he's already at 16 to 17 inches of vert. We always see at least 1, if not 2 inches extra when you go into the dome. So I'm okay with those. It's you just got to really figure out that slider to right-handers a little bit more. What do you know? Another, how am I supposed to butter my bread with this? With Cole Drake. 3.2 innings of 300 runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, and 1 strikeout. What is up with Thursday's games? I don't know. Just 3 whiffs. Yeah. You don't need me to tell you that this is donut command and not really what you want. He is close to pulling it off against right-handers. You can kind of see he's going down with the changeup and up a bit with the four-seamer and inside with the cutter, and curveballs are around, and it's just not enough. By the way, also against lefties, so many sliders just over the plate. Yeah, no, this is not the guy that you want. 4% overall swing strike rate. I mean, just, it's not it. We're going to also check out, of course, Ranger Suarez. And Ranger Suarez is my lead tonight for the SP round, or rather for the day. You'll see it later this afternoon. A very busy day. Lots of things going on in my personal life, and I'll go into that another time. But it's laying lots of things. Anyway, Ranger Suarez, 3 innings, 300 runs, 3 hits, 2 walks, and 3 strikeouts, 4 runs. He had an error in this game in that 4th inning that just elongated for ages. It was a 2-run shot early on, and then you had lots of singles, a walk, and it just kind of kept going. So the thing about Ranger is that this now marks, I'd say, 3-4 games where you've been really disappointed with him. He had the IL moment on July 5th, and we didn't see him until July 26th. He looked good in that one for the most part. It looked like, okay, this is fine. We're back to normal in 64 pitches. But then he only went 65 against the Dodgers, and now it's 70 in 3 innings. He's not hit 5 innings since June 29th. And the main thing I've talked about with Ranger Suarez and a lot of these Vargas rules of the past is that it's all about rhythm and command. And you can really just see from the strike zone plots, are these guys executing how they want to be executing? With Ranger, he is not. He is not having this amazing pitch separation with his sinker inside to left-handers and sliders down away to right-handers, cutters getting inside to right-handers and four-seamers and sinkers away. It's not change-ups down, curveballs down. Curveball actually did get down, to his credit. He got that one, but this is not the Ranger Suarez you want, and not even fully stretched out. So if you are in a situation where you have some really fun options to go for, and Ranger Suarez is the worst guy on your team, I'm okay. You can take a chance on someone else instead of Ranger Suarez. There's an argument to be made that you want Jacob Lopez more than Ran Harris Suarez because it's just, it's the supply demand chart where they're crossing over. It's not supply demand, you understand, where Lopez is in rhythm versus out of rhythm of Ran Harris Suarez. And look, there are so few weeks left in your seasons. A lot of you are just trying to fight for a playoff spot at this moment for like the next few weeks. To give me the guy who's in rhythm as opposed to the one who's not. You have Braxton Ashcraft who, oh man, this is so disappointing, isn't it? He did not give you that kind of studly start that you're used to. Five innings of four runs, four hits, one walk, and five strikeouts. And he's really been struggling since the end of June when he had that sixth inning, five earned run game against the Phillies. He's since also had a five earned run game against the Brewers on the 11th of July, seven earned runs against the Yankees on the 20th, four against the Cubs on the 26th, and now four again, of course, on August 6th. What is going on? The way I see it, he's just not getting the same kind of whiffs that he used to. This wasn't even the left-handers getting more hits on him. He only allowed one hit to a lefty. It was four against right-handers. He allowed two home runs in this one. It was one solo shot, in the fifth inning. Then he had a solo shot early on to Churiel. I mean, who hasn't, right? But what I'm trying to get, I'm sorry, I was thinking of Kevin Arrow because, you know, I'm a pitching guy. What I don't like to see is that the four-seamer is getting used about 31% of the time, and that is not a whiff pitch. Right, that is just not the pitch that we really want to see getting opportunities in two-strike counts at all. And he's doing it 37% of the four-seamers he throws in two-strike counts. Now, the curveball and slider fail to get a single strikeout against right-handers. And really, the main story here is that Braxton Ashcraft is only as good as his breaking pitches. If those are doing all the things at the right time and getting a ton of whiffs, things are great. He is not doing that. 10% on the slider in this game, 15% on the curveball. Those are not the whiffs that you want to see. Not great for Braxton Ashcraft. We just got to hope he gets it back against the Marlins and the Tigers. Movement is still there. It's just really about executing the location of them, especially the slider down to the lefties. And just nail that corner, please. You have Bryce Miller, who looked better. It was a three earned run first inning with a two run shot by Dingler on the only cutter he threw the entire game in a two one count up and away. Annoying. But otherwise, I mean, I liked this version of Bryce Miller a lot more. The other four innings he pitched was one earned run. And it was five innings of four earned runs, five hits, two walks, five Ks. It was encouraging. Yes, 95.7, but the other element has been the command of pitches, and this was more sweepers down and away, better splitters and curveballs as well. I like this a lot more. We saw strike rates above 60% on everything, 62% plus with the sweeper at 62, and then it's 67% on the splitter, 68 on the four-seamer, and 71 on the curve. Those are good marks. We like that. And I'm more encouraged. Yes, it was at home, and he does go into the Bronx and then goes into Milwaukee the next two. It is a little scary, and I don't blame you. I'm going to do it. Nolan McClain also not looking like how you want him to. Five innings, five earned runs, eight hits, three walks, and eight strikeouts. Oh, boy. This was against the Guardians, and this was a clear case of few strikes. Four-seamer, sinker, curveball, most thrown pitches there. I mean, the curveball at 19, we have 11 sweepers, 10 cutters. Those did get some strikes, but rare whiffs, only one between them in 21. And the other pitches, it's just all 60% strikes. I can't give you what you want, guys, unless Nolan McClain showcases that he has a good left-handed attack and a good right-handed attack. Obviously, he only got lefties here and didn't have it. It's disappointing. You carry on. You start him against Atlanta. Mason Burnett pitched for the Athletics in Cincinnati. It was interesting. 4.1 innings of 5 earned runs, 3 hits, 7 Ks, but I kind of dig his stuff over time. It is a fun cut fastball at 95 miles per hour. But I am not seeing enough yet, and we're just going to wait until it's good. Three home runs. I mean, look at Cincinnati. Luis Castillo debuted for the White Sox, and what do you know? Not very good. It was in Fenway, and just terrible. Four innings, five earned runs, six hits, one walk, five Ks. If you got to watch that game all the way through, you're lucky. That was an incredible ball game. You have Foster Griffin making his debut for the Guardians. Four innings of five earned runs, 7 hits, two walks, and six Ks. And here's the thing. Foster Griffin has been struggling for a bit. He was struggling before he even got dealt. The last five games, really, I would say five of his last six, he's had sub-10 whiffs across the board. And that is very startling. I mean, the last three games, or rather four games, have been 8-8-7-8. So what's going on with this? The way I see it is that his changeup and his curveball were more whiff pitches. They are not really getting consistent whiffs now. And the four-seamer that would come in and get whiffs is not being there. Essentially, what would always happen with Foster Griffin is that something would appear, right? Some days he would have the sweeper getting more whiffs or the changeup, and he would just go to something else in his back pocket. What's happening now is that he's not really having the same depth of arsenal. The changeup and the four-seamer are letting him down a ton. We're talking about sub-20% CSW, same with the curveball actually in this one. But both of those, the changeup had a 23% strike rate. The four-seamer had a 53%. This was really him not commanding in the same way he was before. It doesn't mean he can't anymore, and it is too good of a schedule. It's at Detroit and then hosting the Giants. I think he got to stick with it and hope that he finds it again. At least he got 6 strikeouts this time. But yeah, it is very, very tough right now. And then you have Miles Michaelis, who is still with the Nationals. I don't get it why they got rid of Littell and not Michaelis, but 5 innings, 6 earned runs, 12 hits, 1 walk, and 1 strikeout. How am I supposed to butter my bread with that? I don't know. And his velocity was also way down, 1 to 2 ticks. We're at 91 now for Miles Michaelis. Absolutely not. All right, that is it. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the Plus Pitch podcast and the SB Roundup from Jake Crumpler, who's doing this now with video. So check that out on YouTube as well. But that is it. So my name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.